Good morning. All right, let's see how we can get through this. I apologize if you nod off, but we're going to try it anyway. All right? So every day we have the opportunity to have an effect on those around us, whether that's a positive effect, a negative effect. Positive, negative, you know, we can get it in one fell swoop sometimes. Or if it's an indifferent effect. We have an effect on family, friends, co-workers. We have an effect on random people on the street, random people in the store, even people that were around in traffic. I'd venture to say that most of the time our Christian attitude comes through. Hopefully every time. But, you know, sometimes we have those select times where we accidentally run somebody off the road in a fit of road rage. Nobody else? Just me? Okay, we'll try to move on from that. All right. But let's take a moment, no seriousness, think about the impression we truly leave on people. Not the rose-colored image that we think that we have for ourselves, but the actual true impression that we leave with people from our interactions. How many times, maybe, have we left a poor impression? How many times would people have a hard time believing that we're a Christian? What did we do to make that impression? What could we have done differently? Each scenario that we may think about is unique. There's no cookie-cutter answers. No, I could have done this. It's unique to the person. It's unique to the person who got that impression of you. It's unique to the person that gave the impression. But they all may have a common element that we can look at today to see if maybe next time we can avoid making the same mistake. Maybe there's something that we can look at and just see if there's an underlying theme each time. We're going to start off in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 23. It's a recollection of how Jesus lived his life. So starting in verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Pretty good attitude right there. No, I couldn't do that. I don't know anybody that can. But this is the expectation of how we're supposed to act every day. This is how we're supposed to live each and every day as a Christian. Jesus lived a perfect life, and we try to emulate that. We try to get as close to that as we can. But this is a task with such a high degree of difficulty that at the end of the day, we just hope to be in the same solar system, much less in the same zip code of how Jesus acted in his life, how Jesus carried himself. Living a Christian life is the hardest thing that we do each and every day. Being a Christian example is the hardest thing we can do. One slip up and we get branded as one of those Christians. We make a mistake, as humans are wont to do. We make a mistake, and that's seen as a reflection on what the whole religion of Christianity is. We mess up and everybody thinks that's how Christians act. Paul wrote about the expectations of Christians in Philippians 1, 20, verse 27, when he said, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel." In Philippians 2, 5-8, Paul has further instructions. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." The example that Jesus left for us is a challenge that it's just a big challenge that we face on a daily basis. But there's some ways that we can hope to achieve even a glimpse of the attitude that Jesus had. Just a glimpse of the man that he was on this earth and the way he was throughout his life. There were Four things I think that we're going to talk about. Living life with a clean heart. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So creating a clean heart. The example, where I read this, it gave an example, but the example I'm going to use is, last week we put our house on the market to sell our house. We have two kids. Could we have left our house the way it was a couple months ago and had people come in and go, "Hey, this is the house for us"? Little toys here, little toys there, clothes everywhere, dolls, swords, you know, and girls with swords. I know it's crazy, but they have them. No, we had to clean our house. We had to go through and clean the house. We had to declutter. Things were moved and put in storage. Things were hidden from children. But we had to go through and clean our house to make sure it was in a presentable state where somebody would come in and go, "This is where I want my next home to be, or my first home to be." And that's what we have to do with our heart. We have to every so often take a step back, do a little self-reflection, and see what we need to do to make sure our heart is pure. While we may feel it's okay for us each day, what we need to do is make sure that we have that heart that is clean so that God will approve of how we live our lives. Because how we live our lives is a representation of who we are. If we live it with a high prevalence of profanity in our life, or we steal and cheat, how is that a good reflection upon being a Christian? So that's what we have to do, is make sure our heart is clean. And this is something that has to be done every so often. Just like in preparing a house to be sold, we have to do that we have to every so often take stock and see what we need to do to make sure our heart's clean. Next, we also need to live with a committed heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Being committed to God before asking for His blessings is important. We can't just go to God and ask and ask and ask and ask, and we still live our lives the way we want to live them. We have to be committed to Him, and it's hard. It's hard to be committed to Him, to be that shining example of what we're supposed to be every day. Look through the Bible and you see when the Lord was talking to Moses, He told Moses, He said, "Tell the Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me." That's a two-part statement. Let my people go. That's the part that we always remember. The second part, that they may serve me. Let my people go is easy. You know the Israelites were excited about that. Let me go out of this slavery, please. But then there was a second part. Now they're going to serve the Lord. That had to be a little bit more difficult for them to understand. A little bit more difficult for them to accept. So it's a two-pronged act. Deal. It's not just let my people go. It's to serve the Lord. Be committed to God. That's what being a Christian is about. Being committed to serving God. Showing our faith every day in what we do at work, in the store, driving down the road. To show that we have that faith and we live that life. Next, we should have a grateful heart. Deuteronomy 28:45-47. "All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees He gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity." Are we grateful for the gifts that God gives us? Or do we just take them for granted and ask for more? People have a high expectation of what they deserve. There's a sense of entitlement out there. And I think back of an example. We had a family at Gallatin right before Christmas. Their house burned down. It was a dad and three daughters. Their house burned down. Women. Their trailer burned down. This is not a situation where they were living in the highlight. There was actually a tree growing in one of the rooms. And this is the type of life. They're on the wait list for Habitat for Humanity House. So they're not living the high life. So I'd sent out a message to the faculty, just because I'm the one that sends the messages and nothing to do with me. But I sent the message to the faculty. I gave no details other than we had two students in the school whose house burned down, and the only thing they had was what they were wearing to school that day. That's all they had. They didn't have much before, but they had even less now. So I sent that message out, and that was at 9 o'clock. By noon, we had $1,800 collected from the faculty, and the people that the faculty did not know who the students were. They didn't know anything. The dad came in the next day and just was forever grateful for what happened. We gave them food. We have a food pantry. We have a clothes closet. The kids went through the clothes closet. Dad went through the food pantry. He was forever thankful. Fast forward several weeks. I'm not sure what happened in that time frame to go from being grateful to feeling entitled. He calls school. I need beds for my kids. Okay, we'll work on that. And then he goes, okay. We got the beds delivered. And we worked through it with a church that my mom goes to, and they bought three mattresses and box springs and the whole bed set for the $3. Never heard a thank you. It was just kind of expected that that's what we were going to do. And that's what we do sometimes. We're grateful at the beginning, and it's like, okay, I'm expecting this now. Somebody's done something nice for me. They're going to do it over and over and over. That's what we do for God, with God. We're grateful when good things happen, but as they keep building, we're just like, okay, that's what I expect. That's what I'm entitled to. We have to be careful with that attitude. We have to make sure that we're grateful for what He gives us. Also, we must have a believing heart. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. That's hard. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because that's what we do. We lean on what we know. We have to lean on other people, not just, you know, in the situation where we lean on trusting God, but we have to lean on other people and our jobs. And it's hard to be the expert at everything. But people, we have to go out and ask for help. I'm a high school administrator. I taught health science for 10 years. I don't even know, I'm not even an expert on health science anymore because it's been 5 years since I taught that class because the standards have changed. I can't imagine that I know everything going on in English, math, science, social studies. So who do I go to? The experts, social studies, math. There are other ones in the building that we go to. Lean on other people. We need to lean on God to make sure that we get through our challenges. I just think about my life. I've been around for just over 6 years now. It seems like I've been here forever for some people, but I've only been around just over 6 years. And before that, it was just me. I had support of my family, but I didn't necessarily use it a lot. And just thinking about the things that have happened in the last 6 or so years, I've stepped out and done some things I normally wouldn't have done. And that's what strength given me by other people. And I think everybody knows who that is. It's the math expert over there. The support that I've been given. I ran for an elected office for athletic trainers. What was I thinking? And what were the people thinking that voted me in is the question. But I tried it before, and I didn't do a very good job. I lost the election, so I tried it again. This time I had support. I had moral support from somebody. It helped me out so much. And then the 2 years I served in that office, I was crazy enough to run for another office for a promotion. 2 years in that office. And I would not have done that or been successful in that without support. And that's what we have to do. We have to have support from God to make sure that we give through our challenges, to make sure we do what we need, to live the faith and walk the faith. With the help of God's strength, ultimately, that makes it made available in a believing heart. He brings us to places we never could reach on our own. We can't get these places on our own. You go on a mission trip, you can get there, but you got to have the faith of God to be able to speak to people, to go knock on that door, to go help build that house, to whatever it is that's going on in that mission. If we choose to trust in the Lord, we will be rewarded for that believing and trusting in Him. So it goes back to the beginning. Many influences going on around us that externally affect our attitude. But ultimately, we determine what kind of attitude we have. We determine if we're happy, sad, angry, whatever it may be. We'll look at John over here. And this is off the cuff, so hopefully I don't say anything offensive. John's gone through a lot recently. And the attitude he's shown, You know, he lost a lot of weight. So I asked him at one point, being the smart aleck that I am, do you recommend chemo as a way of somebody losing weight efficiently? And of course, he got the joke. Thank goodness, because that would have been a bad joke if he hadn't gotten it. But the attitude he shows, like, well, and, you know, one hand yes, one hand no, and we went through and he explained it. And of course, you know, it causes a lot of weight loss, but there's a whole lot of other issues to go with it. But the attitude that he had through this, that's important. How we portray ourselves to others. We determine our attitude. What do people think about you when they see you? What do they think about me when they see me? So I've got some questions here in closing. What can we do to make sure that we're a positive influence? Whether that's at work, whether that's here, whether that's in the grocery store, in the shopping store, walking aimlessly around the church, whatever it is we do. What can we do to be a positive influence? Do we surround ourselves with godly people who have hearts that are clean, committed, grateful, and believing? Are we that person for our friends? Do we provide these traits so that we can be the best example for those around us? In our lives, I had a discussion one time with a youth minister at one of the churches in Gallatin. He asked me, sir, are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Luckily, I had just enough idea to figure out I want to be a thermostat, because the thermostat determines the temperature of the room. The thermometer just reads the temperature of the room. So we have to think about those things. We should be the ones that set the temperature of the room, set the mood of the room, not the ones that just accept what's going on. Our attitude determines who we are and what influence we have. So the last two questions. What effect will we have today, tomorrow, next week, next month? And what will we do to make sure that we live like the example that Jesus set for us? So if you'll please stand and join us in singing the closing song.